Hallelujah. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I was asked by our pastor to speak today, and so I'm here. Amen. You know, so many guys, you know, you take this for granted. And it's sad because we have something so unique. You can go to 100 other churches and not find what you found here this morning. It is really that unique. And some of you don't know because you've never been to anywhere but New Covenant. But to go out there and see the mess that they produce for God, it's just horrible. But to know when you got something that God is doing to bring his children to a place to know who they are. And today, amen, this word that we're going to give you today, I want you to pay close attention to what the Holy Spirit is going to say to you today. Amen. Praise God. Let's bow our head. Say this after me. Say, Father, I covenant with you now to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. I receive the spirit of wisdom and revelations in the knowledge of thee. The eyes of my understanding is being open to the truths of your word. I thank you, Father. I have revelation knowledge. It's mine now. I believe it in my heart, and I confess it out of my mouth that I have it by faith. And so I thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. I also want to thank our brother Mario. Let's give him a hand. Amen. You know, I thank God for this brother that has been here with us, going through this period with us, and this is his last Sunday, so I want you to give him a real praise. Amen. He's got to go on. He's got a thing he's got to do, but I want to let him know publicly that we appreciate the work of the ministry that God has done through him while he's serving with us. Come on, let's give it up. Amen. He'll still be around from time to time, but nevertheless, amen. And sometimes you just have to do what you feel you have to do. Amen. And that's just the way it is. And we thank God for it because God's got some great things for New Covenant Church. I have already seen in the future. I've seen a full band. I've seen horns. I've seen flutes. I mean, I've seen a whole orchestra here. So I know God's got to do some things. Amen. I've seen a 100-voice choir behind us, amen, singing and worshiping, the praise team praising. Then we have a choir behind. So these things, God shows you the future. But the future is, come on, somebody got that, amen. It's not have to be future, it's now. Amen. You may be seated. Y'all don't mind me sitting down, do you? Amen, amen, thank God. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to Exodus chapter 3. Starting with verse 14. Exodus chapter 3. Reading out of the King James. Verse 13. Exodus 3:13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come into the children of Israel and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said, unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Can you say amen? Amen. I am has sent me unto you. I want y'all to pay attention to this message. My topic today is identity is destiny. I'm going to say it again. Identity is destiny. Think about it for a second. How important is it to know who you are? What is your identity? How important is that, you think? I mean, we have people, you know, who was raised up, they don't know who their father, they don't know who their mother is, and they go back and they go online and they try to find those companies that traces your DNA just to try to find one thing. Who am I in this big old world? And they'll go, I remember I seen one, they had a whole story on it. This guy, since he was a child, all his life, he just wanted to know where he came from, who he was. And come to find out, he had family less than 50 miles away, but he didn't know it. Amen. But once he found out, and they met. Amen. The whole story is about they was putting families back together, and they met, and he found out who he was, and his identity of who he was through who they were started lining up. So my question to you is, how important is identity? My topic is identity is destiny. Your destiny is inside of your identity. Are y'all hearing me? And so I am that I am. When Moses asked, who shall I say sent me? Moses asked God for a name. The response was not a title. I want y'all to hear me. It was a code. It was a statement of presence. I am that I am. Now, we've talked about this is a word present. This is a word planet. Amen. How important words are. I want y'all to see something. I've talked about some of this on a certain level, but I'm going to go deep today. Say, he going deep today. Say, you're going to have to really get this. Who you are. Words that don't describe who you are, but creates what you believe you are. I am is your sacred signature. I am, listen to me good, is your sacred signature. I want y'all to get this. He said, tell him my name is I am. But I want you to see, this wasn't a name like in the traditional sense, Luke or John or Prince. Come on, say amen. It wasn't a name in that respect. It was a code. Come on. And every time you say, I am, you have, and you're repeating that great mystery. Come on. You carry the same creative force within you. You carry the same signature that God said, because he wasn't talking about a name. He was talking about a conscious awareness. He was so much aware of who he was. It wasn't just a name. It was a code. And that code is written in your DNA. I got proof. You say it all the time. You carry this creative force within you. You say, I am. It's not a description. When God said to them, I am, it was not a description. It was a command. Are you hearing me? Every time you say, I am tired, I am not enough, I am lucky. Come on. You're not just describing a moment of luck or declaring that you're not enough or you're tired. You are literally declaring a truth to your conscious mind. You're declaring a truth to your conscious mind, to the universe, and to every cell in your body. You're declaring something. I am. Are you hearing me? But you'll say, I am sick. Guess what that's declaring inside you? You're sick. You're saying, I'm so lazy. I am so lazy. Come on, you're declaring a truth. And you wonder why you feel so lazy. Are y'all hearing me? Your subconscious mind gets it. Are you hearing me? You are the one that is giving direction. You're the one that's giving direction to the universe. It does not respond to what you want. It responds to who you are. Hear me now. I said your conscious, subconscious mind don't respond to what you want. If that was a place, we would just have all, words are so powerful, right? We would have all this stuff. But it don't just respond to what you are. It responds to who you are. And when you know the truth, this word is giving direction. It's creating something on the inside. You sometimes you know, I know when I first started learning about words and I started saying, and it was so hard. It was so hard. We talked about this last time. It was so hard for me to stop saying the negatives and start saying the positive because I had trained my inner self, the I am. Come on, say amen. I used to say, you know, I would eat and eat and eat. Come on, say amen. And I love food. And I say it, I love food. Some of y'all said, no, I could tell. And then I would gain all this weight. And then I'm sitting back wondering, why I'm gaining so much weight? Are you hearing me? I'm trying to talk to some of y'all out there. And I would declare down on the inside of me, I don't have no other vices. I don't drink. I don't smoke. At least I'm going to enjoy my food. Are you hearing me? And I said that from my heart. Are you hearing me? I don't just eat food. Guess what I'm doing? I'm becoming food. Are y'all hearing me? I'm becoming one with the food I eat. Getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then looking around like, what's wrong? I don't eat that much. Brother Tony. You know, and I'm just steady getting bigger and bigger and don't understand why. And then I would try to diet or I'd try to fast or I would try to lose weight. And I would lose weight. Are you hearing me? But guess what? It always came back. Why? Because I am. That is creative power. That is the direction that I told myself. That's the direction that I planted down in my subconscious. Are you hearing me? I'm trying to get y'all to see something. And every cell in my body knew it. Care if I wanted to try to every now and then say something different. But the real thing, the real deal, is that creative ability, that creative force of I am. Amen. See, God knew who he was, and he spoke. He didn't give a name. Come on, because no name could really qualify him. He said, I am who I am. I am that I am. Come on, say amen. And so I want you to understand this. See, the universe, It responds to who you are. Wanting, anybody want some things? Yes. Wanting is powerless without identity. Wanting is a whisper, but I am is thunder. Woo. Come on. It's authority. I am. And you've been saying these words. After this message today, I'll never want to hear I am come out of your mouth carelessly. You begin to understand why the things are going on in your life that, you know, you can't even explain, but you've been saying it for years and years and years. Come on, say amen. So I can start talking about myself. And the result was everybody could see it. Are you hearing me? Until you learn better, you can't do better, because down on the inside, you've been given this creative power to create. Amen? See, your true name is not John or Mary or Little Prince. Are you hearing me? Your true name is I Am. Did you get that? Everything that shapes, everything after that shapes the lens from which you see, feel, and create. Everything after you say, I am, guess what? You're starting a creative force on the inside of you. Are you hearing me? For example, if you say, I am unlucky, and your brain will go to work to search for proof that you are. Your brain goes inside, your subconscious mind goes to work to prove. For example, if you say, I'm resilient, it will shift the focus to resilience. Are y'all hearing me? You was given these keys all along. You had the keys on the inside of you, but you have said unconsciously, I am always broke. You've said, I am no good at relationships. You said, I am too old, too late, and too lost. And the universe says, as you wish. Did you hear me? When you say, I am, and you use that term, you're using a power force that God placed in every human being. Whether you know it or not, it doesn't just go one way. It'll go any way, either way. Your subconscious mind begins to interpret or begins to translate what you are saying. And so when you say, I'm broke, you know, I used to wonder why I couldn't get no money. I mean, I just got paid on Friday, and I'm broke already. Come on, say it. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You said the same thing. Where all my money go to? I'm broke. Come on, say amen. I'm not good at relationships. I don't know about other people, but and you say things like that just casually, just throwing it out there, and you don't even realize what you are doing. It's time to wake up from accidental identity creation. I said it's time to wake up from accidentally identity creation. Because once you become aware of the power behind the I am, come on. Once you become aware that there is power to create, amen. You can no longer doubt I am. Every word you declare is a brick in the house you are building. Every word is a brick in the house you're constructing. Are y'all hearing me? Ask yourself, what reality are you constructing with your I am that you repeat every day? Are you repairing your past, or authorizing your future? Which one are you doing? Because you say it all the time. Ain't no doubt about it. You say, I am cold. I am sad. I am mad. I'm mad as a hatter. I'm so angry. Come on. Look about it. Take a minute to think back while I'm going through this about all your I ams. Are you hearing me? You are not your circumstances. You're not your thoughts. You are not your history. Are you hearing me? You are the I am behind the curtain. You're the I am behind them. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? So once you wake up to this fact, this is your beginning. This is why things just can't go your way, because you're saying, I'm not enough. I don't know enough. I'm not smart enough. I can't do enough. Are you hearing me? And every time you do that, you're piping down into your subconscious mind, into your very being, who you are. And your subconscious mind says, I'll try to accommodate that. It don't judge it whether it's good or bad. It just is what you say it is. And when you stop saying that and start saying something else, it will become bad. And for years, I lived my life. I said, Lord, I'm saved. I love the Lord. I'm going to church. I'm serving you. All these things. I don't know what's wrong. And the Lord told me, finally got through to me after years and years, just crying out to God, crying. He says, your problem is 1 inch below your nose. It's about an hour. Your mouth. Your mouth is your faith speaking. What are you releasing out of your mouth? I was not releasing faith, but it still was a force that was releasing something. It was releasing all the poverty. It was releasing all the lack. It was releasing not enough. Even when I'm working, still not enough. End of the week, there ain't no more money. Come on, money runs out earlier part of the week. I got to go through the week borrowing, trying to get enough, because I would say, man, I don't make enough. They don't pay me enough. Are you hearing me? And you catch yourself saying these things, and you think it's just harmless talk. It is not. It is creative energy. It is creative power. This is a word planet. God made you like this. After he made himself, he says, I am that I am. You are that you are. You are the I am. Come on, are y'all getting any of this? Oh, my God. Now, keep me track of my time, because I'll just go on. No, my wife ain't here today. So you're not your thoughts. You're not the circumstances. You are the I am behind that. Amen? The foundation, the beginning. Identity is destiny. True identity just began. When you said those words, I am, true identity just began. You can speak your destiny into existence. Come on. I know for years and years I was saying all I said, I was saying anything I was big enough to say. And finally I came across a book called A Tongue, A Creative Force. And it started me on my journey. But even then, I didn't get it like I got it now. Are you hearing me? Because what I'm trying to do is go underneath just the words you say out there. And that's why some of the words you say ain't working. Because you'll say that today, but tomorrow, your subconscious mind knows that you don't mean that. Come on, because you said 500 times something else. That I am. And every now and then you go to church, you get around Christians. Oh, you try to say the right thing. You can't fool your true self. It already knows. And so if you don't train yourself in what I'm teaching you today, you're not going to have no more tomorrow than you have today. No further along than you are today. And you're going to start still looking at other people, wondering why they get ahead. Wonder why they have more. Wonder why they got a new home. Wonder why they got a new car. Come on. Because you say, I'm broke. I'll never be able to afford a new car. Man, I always get junkers and clickers. Come on. Because you said, you ride to the place and say, they probably going to sell me a lemon. And so that's what you get, a lemon. And all you've had every time you buy a car, you end up being a lemon. Brand new car, but end up being a lemon. Why? Because down on the inside, and the universe says, how can we make that happen for him? He must really want a lemon. Are y'all getting any of this? Identity is destiny. Your true identity is inside you. And destiny, and you can create your destiny. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
When you say statements like, I am tired, I am unlucky, I am not that type of person, I am trying. Don't you see I'm trying? I'm trying. Come on. These phrases seem innocent, common, but hidden within them is the blueprint of your reality. Down on the inside is the blueprint. It's the seed that you once planted that shapes the way you think, feel, and act, and ultimately live. So the blueprint starts out with the seed. Amen? The seed of what you really want, or you're dialing down on the inside of you. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Every I am is a seed. Say that. Every I am is a seed. Now I want you to think about it. Think of each I am statement as a seed you planted into your soil of consciousness. Are you, all right? You say once. You say it once, and the ground is stirred up. Repeatedly saying it, and the roots begin to grow. Order it with emotions, and it blossoms into belief. Did you get this? So when you say it once, the seed is planted. You repeat it and repeat it over and over, and the soil is stirred up, and the plants, and then you put emotions to that, and you end up with belief. The way you interpret people, the way you come at people, opportunities, challenges, everything comes through that feel of what you perceive and how you've grown up. Come on, say amen. And again, you start saying, I can't see why I can't get ahead. All the time you're saying, I can't get ahead.
Amen.
And so every time something happened, it looked like you were going to get a promotion, somebody else took it. And then you all mad at them. You should be mad at yourself. Because you're the one said, and you the one set yourself up. I may get a job. Every time I get a good job, I lose it. Look like I'm cursed. I am what? Cursed. So you call it upon yourself, and you don't even realize what you've been doing. Are y'all getting any of this today? You don't just say, I am anxious anymore. You see the world through anxiousness. Are you hearing me? You felt your life, and you dealt with your identity. That's why identity is destiny. See, you don't just feel anxious. You perceive anxious. Everything around you is anxiety. Everything around you is heightened. And the way you perceive everything, you think everybody else is the same way you are, how you perceive, because that's what you train yourself how to look at things. Amen? You're always a day late and a dollar short. Come on, say amen. Oh, this probably won't work for me. Watch and see. And we watch and we see it. Just like you said it. Sure enough, come on. So you felt your life through the identity. Amen? And so you declare, I am. Everything rearranges to prove you right. Did you hear me? You declare, you make a declaration, I am. And then everything arranges to prove whatever that I am statement is. It begins to rearrange itself. In other words, that is the self-fulfilling nature of I am. Like somebody said, a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's the self-fulfilling nature of I am. You're not going to escape it. It's down in your DNA. And so unless you change, unless you watch what words you let say out of your mouth, and these I ams, how many know that you've been saying I am all your life? But how many of you realize you've been saying the wrong I am? I know I did in the early part of my life. I didn't know no better. See? And so every time something happened, shoot, I'm so hungry. I'm going to step over mine. You know, I can't keep no money. I don't, every time I get some money, it just goes for me. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what's happening. Look like, man, somebody trying to take my money, what? And I didn't understand what I was saying, just like many of you listening to me, those of you out there listening there. You don't understand how these processes work because we've never been taught. Are you hearing me? But you're being taught today. And now is the time to change. Change it. Because your identity is your destiny. You're not going to escape your destiny because you already identified. You created it in your ID, your identification. So therefore, it becomes your destiny. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Your subconscious mind listens to you, literally. It doesn't evaluate. It doesn't edit it. It doesn't judge it. What you say becomes truth and becomes lining up yourself, and you begin to line up your behaviors and your perception accordingly. So what you say and what you begin to say, I am, it becomes your destiny. And so your subconscious mind is listening. What did he say? What did she just say? I'm stupid. What? Why would you say something like that? When you say, I'm bad with money. How many times have you said that? I'm bad with money. I don't know. You train. Come on, somebody. This trains your brain to overlook opportunities and repeat bad spending habits. You're running around and you still, oh my God, what happened to my money? I thought I'd learned something from last time, but you pronounce, you know, I'm bad with money. Mm-mm, don't give it to me. Mm-mm, I'm telling you, don't give it to me because I don't know. And you don't. Are you hearing me? You say, I'm unlucky in love. And you filter out aligned partners that would draw in relationship that validates your pain. You draw, because you said, I'm unlucky in love. Every time I get somebody, I get a jerk. I get a dumbbell. I get somebody who just don't know how to love me. Come on. And you said it, and you said it for years. So every person you come is another dummy, dumb. Come on. Because you draw into you the person that will signature your statement, validate your pain. Your subconscious says, he must want more unlovingness. He's unlucky in love. Are you hearing me? So let's give him some more. It cannot do anything else. You understand? This is how you, are y'all hearing me? This is how you were created. And unless you go through the process of learning what I'm trying to teach you today, you say, I am too old, too shy, not enough. Each one becomes a script. Your life will begin to live out over and over again. Did you hear me? You say, I'm too old. Ain't no use me trying now. I'm too old to learn again. I'm too old. Come on. You ain't but 30 years old. Come on. You say, you know, I'm too shy. Ain't nobody going to want me. I'm too shy. Sure enough, they keep passing you right by, going somewhere else. You say, I'm not enough. They look at you. No. Come on. Because that's what you've dialed down on the inside of you, and you said it, and it becomes your script. It even comes out of your own mouth.
Wow.
I'm never going to find nobody. I'm never going to be happy. I can't find nobody. Are you hearing me? And so they just all around you, but keep skipping over you because you've dialed that information, and your body says, this is what she must want. It don't judge it. It doesn't evaluate it. It just does what you say. Jesus said this. You can have what you say. And guess what? Most of us are having what we say, but we're saying the wrong things. So you say the wrong things, you have what you say. Then when you have what you say, because you're saying the wrong things, you have what you say. So Jesus knew how these principles work. He just gave you the surface version of it. I'm trying to go a little deeper so you can understand why you are having what you say. Because your conscious or subconscious creates ability of I am, have declared it so. And so it can't go against you no matter what other words try to come out and say. You can't talk with both sides of your mouth. You got to learn. And that's when I started changing. When I learned to be consistent, man, I could clock it. I started getting like 10% better. Then I went to like 20% better. Then I got like 50% better. Nothing changed yet. But listen to me. I started feeling different. Something's happening. 60, 70% said it started on the inside of me. I've said this so many times. This is Hawkins 101. Before the word can change your circumstance, it's first got to. How many heard me say that? That's 40 years old. Are you hearing me? And now I'm finally explaining it to you. Before the word can, the word is powerful. The word is the most powerful thing in the universe. But so are you. And what word are you putting inside it? What word are you dialing down into your dial? Are you hearing me? And so I often say, before the word can change your circumstance, I know it can because it was doing mine. I learned first of all, but it first had to change me. What about me? He had to change the way I thought, my thinking. Had to change my attitudes. Come on. He had to change what I was saying and my belief system about myself. I would say all this stuff of faith, but I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it. For years, I didn't believe it because we grew up poor. We didn't have much money. Mama used to say, money don't grow on trees. I'm looking for a tree money used to grow on. Maybe money used to grow on trees. Because I ain't found no tree money yet. So the finances and the abundance stayed away from me. Couldn't catch it, couldn't keep it. If I caught it, it went through my hands. And I didn't understand why. Others had around me, others, are you hearing me? I knew God was no respecter of person. And I knew if I kept searching his word, that his word would eventually change my life. And I knew that before it ever changed my life. Did you understand that? I got that before it actually did. I started feeling the word changing me on the inside. I started thinking differently. I started believing differently. Then I started talking differently. I didn't let my circumstances dictate who I am. What I could have, what I could do, where I could go. I started saying the end result. I started making a bold confession of who God says I was. I am. Are you hearing me? And had to not only say it, but believe. what he said. And that's the harder part. It's believing. I told you the greatest thing you'll ever do is to convince your own heart that you are who God says you are. And I ask, why? Why is that so? Why is that true? Because your heart has already been convinced of something else. Woo! Did y'all get that? I'm going to say it again. The greatest thing you will ever do is convince your own heart that you are who God says you are. I'm going to say, why should that be the greatest thing? Because your heart has already been convinced. I'm poor. I'm so poor. I remember, you know, only two presents I had. Remember one year we went down Florida. My father's mother used to live in Jacksonville, Florida. And he would take us for Christmas break down to Florida every Christmas. We would pack the little car up, be 10 of us, and my mom and my dad, in this little Chevy. Come on, say amen. I'm sleeping in the back window. I remember sleeping in the back. You know the little window in the back?
Yeah.
That's my space. I was glad to have that. I had more room than all of them. Come on. Are you hearing me? And one year we went down, and my dad had bought me a pair of skates. Not the skates with the boots and that. How many remember the skates that opens up and close and you tighten them up? Man, I was happiest. I was so happy. I still remember it. That's the first gift I can remember as a child that I got. Are y'all hearing me? Woo, man, I was down there skating because it's down in wintertime. It's wintertime up here, but down there, the sun is shining. No, ain't no snow. So I took my little skates, man, put them on, tightened them up, and was skating in the road. Are you hearing me? And I thought that was powerful. Look at that. And I remember we got a bicycle, me and my sister. You don't want to hear this story, do you? My daddy promised us that he was going to buy us a bike. And I knew he wasn't talking about two bikes because I told you we were poor. But he promised to have a bike. And so I would ask him, Daddy, are you still going to buy us a bike? This is July. Yeah, I'm going to buy you a bike. August, Daddy, you going to buy us a bike? Yeah, I'm going to buy you a September. Daddy, you still going to buy us a bike? Because in wintertime, things get tighter. I watched that from a child. He might have bought me, say that in July, because he got good where he working and everything's going good. But September, October, November, December, oh, my God. God, we eating beans and rice. You hear me? Half of a quarter of a chicken, a wing. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. A half of a wing. Not even a whole wing. Are y'all hearing me? And we love, thank God. So December, Christmas, go to bed. I go to bed. I can't wait till the morning. I'm going to get up. Daddy said, he no matter what, Daddy's going to buy us out, no matter what. So I get up Christmas morning, go down under the tree, and there it is, a bicycle. Woo, I'm so happy. But it's a girl's bicycle. How many of y'all know what that is? It's not a boy's bicycle. It's a girl's bicycle. And I got to tell all my friends, that's my bike. That ain't your bike. That's your sister's bike. No, baby, ain't that not my bike? Yeah. No, it ain't. That's your bike. That ain't his bike. Nuh-uh, that's our bike. My daddy bought this for us, didn't he, baby? Yeah. And I'm so mad at him. Like, don't he know the difference? See, she could ride my bike, but I'm going to get teased by riding her bike. He don't know no better than that. He don't live long enough to know that. Come here. After all year long been waiting, he going to buy a girl's bike. And I got to smile because I don't smile before I can get my tail beat. Thank you, Daddy. Are y'all getting this? So growing up, I ain't get a whole lot of presents. Are you hearing me? People look make fun of me now because I love gadgets. And they wonder why. Now you're hearing why. Are you hearing me? I buy my gadgets now. They call me the gadgets, man. They always got something new. They come around, I got those balls that fly out, come back. I got one of them. I got all kinds of stuff. TikTok. Are y'all hearing me? You see, unless you understand the dynamics behind stuff, you don't ever know what somebody's going through. People are in here going through different things. Come on, say amen. I heard something the other day about one of my relatives, you know, going through something. And you don't know what people are going through because they're looking, they're sitting here and talk, they're looking with you and they're smiling with you, but you don't know what they're going through. And a lot of it is of their own creation. You can't even help them out of it. Come on, somebody, because they're still saying the wrong thing. You tell me, come on, go to church with me. Come over here. There's something different about this church. There's something new. I'm learning myself, but come on and get some of this. And so that's why I said this church is so unique, and there ain't going to be enough seats to hold the people. Because God telling me, he's speaking to people and telling them. Some people are trying to find us. Come on, say me. We should make it easier for people to find us. Amen. By promoting our church, promoting our pastor. Come on, say amen. Promoting our apostle, promoting the things that God is doing. Come on, say amen. Instead of keeping it to yourself, because these people don't have no idea and they're perishing for lack of knowledge. Not because God don't love them. Wouldn't it be shame for God to bless you with all this stuff? And here's another Christian over here, but they don't get none of the blessings. Come on. God is no respecter of person. He's no respecter. I used to think he was prejudiced. I was little and I looked like all the white folks had everything. And over here in the black folks didn't have nothing. I told God, I said, God, I was a little boy. I didn't know no better. So God came to my head. He did. I said, God, are you prejudiced? Because a lot of people around me was very prejudiced. They ain't mind telling you. And the Lord says, no, no, son. I'm no respecter of person. Well, it sure looked like it. See, I've always been bold to say to God, me and God was buddies. God was my friend. Are you hearing me? You can't say the right thing to your friend. He ain't no friend, and you ain't no friend to them. Come on, say amen. You're a plastic friend. I was a real friend, and God's a friend to me. And so I could say what I needed to say to him, whatever it was, even if I didn't know no better. But I learned that God was not prejudiced. He was not racist. Are you hearing me? And people may be racist, but God was not racist. He didn't love this race more than he loved that race. You grow up with black people always being put down, always losing a job, can never get ahead. We had to overwork 3 times more than our counterparts because of the color of our skin. Are you hearing me? That's not right. But you can't help every people and what they've learned and what they've been taught. Are you hearing me? So you got to just figure out who you are. And I had to learn. I had to overcome a lot of the racial prejudice. And we used to go to Florida, I said, every year with my father. And we would go all the way down. My dad was a proud, bold man. He was a man's man, if you know what I'm talking about. But every time we would get in Georgia, he would like shrink down. We'd be riding our car through Georgia. He said, y'all be quiet now. And we couldn't make a lot of noise, or we wouldn't make a lot of noise anyway. But when he would get tired, because he would do all the driving most of the time. We get down in Georgia, I would see him like creep, get out the car at a filling station, because that's where you park. He would ask the man, sir, is it all right for me and my family, coming down from New Jersey, is it all right that we spend the night here in your parking lot for the night to get some rest so I can get up and keep on going? And he would crawl down, bow down. And we've seen the signs, whites only, blacks. Are you hearing the where you drink water at? I saw all this stuff, and I didn't know what that mean. Be quiet, boy. Shut up. And so I saw him change when I got down south. Are you hearing me? So it wasn't so prominent. We ain't had no whites only and black only. Amen? At least where I was at. So anyway, I had to learn and unlearn all this stuff that got down in my spirit. Are you hearing me? And so, thank God I never became racist or racial. Amen. I loved everybody. One of my best friends was a little white girl. Her mama owned the store up the street. And she was one of my best friends. But at certain times, even with her, I watched her mom pull her back from me. And I said, can't you come out and play or whatever? Her mom owned the store. So I would get a little penny candy. And sometimes she'd bring me some penny candy. We come on, because she was my friend. Amen. But I didn't understand. Sometimes I just got disturbed and mixed up because I didn't understand something. Are y'all hearing me?
Yeah.
So you got to know that people go through things in their life. Some people have been abused. Some people have been, misused. And lots of, the scars that happen to people run in families, run in generations. And so some of your kids have been affected by some stuff. And you can't blame yourself for all that stuff. You married the wrong person. Come on, he was an idiot. But you picked him out. Come on, or you picked her out. Are y'all here? Equal time. Come on, say amen. But you got to learn at this time to relearn that these things that I'm teaching you right here is what are the building blocks. Are you hearing me? Watch your mouth. You're speaking your future. Watch your mouth. You're speaking your future. Your thoughts creates your reality. But your identity anchors it. Wow. Your thoughts creates your reality. But your identity anchors it. Some of you might wonder why you just can't get rid of certain thoughts, things you have, because it's anchored. You're like a boat tied to an anchor. It ain't going nowhere because the anchor is stopping it from shifting or going too far. It may move, but it's got an anchor. Well, a lot of your stuff inside of you have anchors tying them to it, and you're trying to shake them loose, and you're trying to get away from it, but your thoughts creates your reality, but your identity, who you believe at a heart level you are, because I am that I am. And so you are anchored to some things that needs to be broken. Your kids got some of that anchorage that needs to be broken off of them, and they can't hardly shake it. Come on, say amen, because they were told, you're never going to be nothing. You're never going to be anything. And sometimes it's taught by the parents or that person who really helps them mold their little lives. Come on, say amen. And growing up, I was in everything. I was in high school. I was in the plays. And I was in, the choir. I was in everything that you had extracurricular. But we would have our plays, and I would have major roles. But I would look out in the audience, and nobody is sitting out there. None of my relatives ever came to none of the plays because they had to work, and I wouldn't, couldn't ask them to come. I would hope they would try to come to one of them or whatever, but they never show up. And so I never got that applause after, after the play is over. You did such a good job. The other parents would come up to their kids and the ones in the play, and they would tell me the same thing, but it's not like hearing it from your mom or from your loved ones, your sister or brother. Are you hearing me? So they never come. So I encourage you to go and support your kids. Don't make them God. Don't make a God out of them. Support them, but let them know the balance. I'm so glad that my mom brought me to church. And when I was growing up, we were made to go to church. Like I'm telling y'all, to make your kids go to church. Some of you've been here. You look like you ain't got no kids. You know why? Because I ain't never seen them. Others of you, you bring your child to every service we have. They don't never miss. They can't miss. Why? You'll tear their tails up. Come on. They don't want to go to church. So I don't make them. Yes, you do too. You make them go. You make them go to school. Amen. You make them go until they get to an age where they can make a decision or not. And as long as you're in my house, you can't even make that decision. You're going to go to church because that's where we go out on Sunday. Come on, my daddy might get drunk as a fish on Saturday, but guess what? He sober up for Sunday morning service, and he be in that car driving us to church. I'm just telling you, that was my daddy. Come on, say amen. I loved it. Are you hearing me? He died when I was 11 years old, so I didn't have no dad growing up. Are you hearing me? I had my brothers, but I missed him. Are you hearing me? But you need to understand, he was what he was. He had a problem with alcohol. Listen, his two brothers died of alcoholism before the age of 50. His sister died of alcoholism before the age of 50. Are y'all hearing me? Come on. He died at 46 before the age of 50. I was only 11 years old. Are you hearing me? So alcoholism destroyed my family tree, my life. Are you hearing me? And so that's why when people say, well, you just against, I'm not against alcohol. Come on, I'm not against alcoholics. I'm against the substance and what it can do to kill people's life and to strip their life away from the addiction part. That's why I think I became an alcoholism specialist, an alcoholism counselor, a director of programs. All year is because of what I've seen and what it can do. And I've helped so many thousands of men come home and get their lives out and get their families back because God gave me that, because he know what I went through and what I saw. So God, in this life, in this world, caused me to become one of the best counselors there is. Are you hearing me? And to put me in prison where I created one of the best programs in this state, had a 98% success rate. Are you hearing me? I like to tell all about that because that's another place of the I am, because sometimes I didn't know what to do and what to create and problems we would run into. And I would go home and pray and the Lord would drop it in my spirit. And I would go back and tell the staff, and they would think I'm some kind of genius. Are you hearing me? That's the creative power we have on the inside of us. Are you hearing me? I can't wait to create one outside here in the streets. Come on, say amen. But it's a lot. It's harder on the street because people can. I had a captive audience in prison. Come on, say amen. They couldn't go nowhere. And so they had to be there in my program, and they couldn't go. So, but every time they went outside the gates, outside my program, they could be exposed to alcohol. Everything is in prison just like that. One day, let me tell this story. One day, one of the young men who was the biggest drug dealer on the compound, he got bored. He decided to come to one of my groups. And so he came to one of the 10-week, I used to have a 10-week program before they gave me a grant to create a program. I used to do weekly programs or 6-week programs. So he decided to come, just hang out. And he got a hold of something. He saw sincerity in my heart. He saw me really trying to help guys' life. And so he stopped all his dealing. He stopped dealing drugs. And he told all the guys, listen, I'm not dealing with that anymore. Don't bring it around me. And when I started my program, he came into the program as one of the leaders in the house because he had went through my program, and I made him one of the leaders. Well, I didn't know at the time, but he was an ex-general in the Cuban army. He knew regiment. He knew how to make barracks ship shape. He knew how to control men. Are you hearing me? So he came in, and he was the sergeant of arms. He came in and got those guys lined up. I mean, you could eat off our floor. That's how clean it was. And the barracks was ship-shaped, nothing out of order, nothing out of place. And when anybody would come into our program, he says, come here, let me whisper something in your ears. And he would tell them, no drugs in here. These men are trying to get their lives together. Don't come in here playing games. These guys are serious. I'm serious. No longer. And he would almost threaten them. But we didn't have no problem with drugs coming into our house because of him. Are you hearing me? The reputation got out. So guys could come in. They could leave their lockers. Everybody in prison had the locks on their lockers. We had no locks on our lockers. They had locks, but they never locked them. Are you hearing me? Because it was a safe place. Unheard of. Unheard of. The parole board chairman, the parole board came in, saw the program, looked at the program. The governor, lieutenant governor came down to the program, saw it. Amen. Everybody who saw it loved it. So they called me the juice man. The juice man. Why? I had the keys to the city gates. And so guys would get out of jail on their first eligibility. Unheard of. They would go home. So they had a 5-year step. The first time they come up, they used to, everybody got a hit first time up. But in my program, guys, if you went through the program and the counselor wrote a letter for you saying that you did good, and don't let me write a letter for you. Oh, my God. Not only did you not get a hit, but you went home on your first eligibility. Are you hearing me? It was unbelievable. They couldn't even believe it. The power that we had, because all the parole board needed was somebody to validate. They just, if you went out there and committed another crime, they could lose their job for that because they let you out. But when they say Hawkins the one mandated or vouched for them, and I would vouch for guys. I would say, no, this guy is ready for society. He has shown that he's ready to enter back into society. He's proven to me over the last 12, our program was 12 months to 18 months. In the last 12 to 18 months, he's shown marvelous rehabilitation, and he's shown that he's ready. And our program is a place where you could practice the right behaviors, doing the right thing. And so people did it every day for 18 months. We would have what we call a haircut. If you had a violation of something, you would give a verbal reprimand. And when you would stand on the spot and another person, a senior in the house, would give you a reprimand and tell you why you're standing on that spot. You let your awareness down and you forgot and you left clothes on your bed or you put this and you left this out of shape. And so you would get that and you go log that haircut and take it back to your group and find out why you always making these careless mistakes all the time. And we had therapists that actually treated people's root issues, that got at the root of their issues of how they became addicted in the first place. And guess what? As we got out of those things, I watched things begin to, and people begin to change. And the staff began to say, what are you doing in that program? These people are changed. I've been knowing them for 10 years. And they tracked it because back then, every time you committed a new offense, you came back to the same prison. So we knew if you committed a crime or something, you was coming back. So we knew who would come back through our program. And we had only like a 2%. That actually came back. 98% success of people not only getting out of jail, but staying out of jail. And that's what the money was about, keeping people out of jail back then, because back then was overcrowdedness. And so I saw so much injustice, I said, Lord, I believe this place to close down. Guess what? It closed down. Only took about 20 years, but it closed, and I had the privilege of seeing, because we used to go down there even after I left the prison. Amen. And that place is closed today. Are you hearing? That's the power of words. I declare it closed. I declare it shut down. And back then it was so much overcrowded, people stayed in the county jail because there was no place in the prison. Come on, that's how overcrowded it was. But when I started declaring and decreeing, things started going the other way. Are you hearing me? Because I saw so much injustice while I was in there. So I'm trying to declare to you, I'm trying to tell you something about words. Watch your mouth. You're speaking your future. You don't like what you're having? Stop saying it. Watch your I am statements. Watch what you say I am to. From this day forth, you should never say I am carelessly. It should not be connected to you. Amen. And you're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit to help you, because we're so used to doing these things. I couldn't understand. It was so hard for me. I said, this is my mouth. Shoot, this is going to be easy. Man, it was the hardest thing up to this day. It was the hardest thing I ever did to change my words and change my vocabulary and meaning. I could say it for a little bit, but I'm end up going right back to it again because I didn't change it. I had to say it all the time. I have to watch every word all the time, not just on Sundays or when I'm around the Christians and saints. Come on, I had to say it all the time and become a way of life, and I had to rewire my brain. Are y'all hearing me? This is what the I am does. This is what this process does. It rewires the subconscious and begins to line it up with who I am. Because I started learning who I am the word through the word. I am Charles Hawkins, Son of God. When you get, now get this I am and get the revelation that you truly are sons of God. Not play, real. Now are we the sons of God. What could that possibly mean? And when you get a revelation of that and sonships get down in your spirit, you'll be healing the sick like me. You'll be seeing things turn and change. It is so fantastic. I mean, I'm telling you, I've been seeing all these years, I saw seeing so many things change. I said, Lord God, what is going on? And the realization started working with me on the inside and then started working with me on the outside. And you know my story. God anointed me with a special anointing. He said to me, you could have been doing this all along. Now I know what he meant. I didn't know what he meant, but I said, I could have. He said, yeah, you could have been doing this all these years. But he still gave me, but I'm giving you a special anointing. So, and I told my people after that, and I saw all the ones that work in here now, they started doing, they didn't see God and they didn't get no special anointing. They started using the anointing of the Holy Spirit that was already in them. They started seeing healings, signs and wonders and miracles. I told them, I said, the Lord told me, you have to have no special visitation from him to do this. You got the Holy Ghost. He is the gift giver. All nine supernatural gifts literally on the inside of you. Now bring them out. Bring them up. Bring them out of your mouth. Start saying, I heal the sick. I raise the dead. I cast out devils. I freely give and I freely receive. Start saying it, declaring, not just saying it, declare that's who you are. And watch what happens in your life. We will have an army so big and so powerful in Vineland, New Jersey, that everybody in the world start coming to Vineland to see this mighty army, because these people know who they are. They are saying, I am that I am, and becoming the I am. Come on, somebody. Woo, good God. Are y'all getting this? My God, I'm telling you. How many of y'all want me to preach this some more next week? I told my wife, I said, if I start this, I don't know, I might have to do a series. Because it's just too powerful and I can't get through it because so much stuff I had to put in there with it. Are you hearing me? So, praise God. An army of believers that know. Listen what I've been saying. An army, what I've been getting you to say. Say it. You've been dialing that down in your spirit for 20 years. Guess what you now know? That you are. Those that know it, know it. I am. I'm a lieutenant. I'm a captain. I'm a general. I'm a colonel. Come on. We don't just have an army. We have soldiers. We have officers. We have generals. I got generals in this house. Are you hearing me? I got people who are going to take their place, their rightful place in the kingdom of God. They're gonna operate in power and authority and dominion in the earth. Why? Because they know it. They know I am the I am. And because they know it, the manifestations of what they say is going to manifest in their life, in their ministry, in their walk, in their talk. Come on, say amen. All those old stuff, all those old habits, all that old failure, not good enough, it's going from them. Their vocabulary is not even the same anymore. They don't talk the same way. They don't walk the same way. Come on, say amen, because something has changed from the inside out. When your insides begin to create, come on, say amen, even before you believe it, when your inside starts to create and you start not only sense it, but start feeling it, Your outside has to catch up with the inside. Are y'all getting hold of this? So it's time. It's time to use your creative authority, your creative ability, your God-given I am that I am authority, and start seeing your world change, your finances change, your homes change, your loved ones change. Come on, say amen. Because you carry. They are, like I said, you're under my authority. All of you are in this house, in this church. You're under my authority. I have a 5-star general authority and anointing. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. I can't say it too many times. But the Lord told me, see, if you will begin to recognize the authority that I carry, if you knew, see, I can't say it too much because it sounds boastful. Are you hearing me? But he told me I had to start saying this because some of you, you're losing out because you don't recognize who I am. You think I'm just Charlie boy. You think, and in my family, I got a family full this church of twice. But how many are here? You know why? They don't even recognize who God put in their own family. Are you hearing me? And there's some people in your family the same way. Are you hearing me? That's why they're hard to be here. Some of you don't want someone to be here, but that's beside the point. But they need to be here to get their life changed. Are you? All of you need to start bringing your family, start bringing your children, your grandchildren. I don't care what they have to say. You bring them. If they're here in your house, they're around you, you go get them and bring them to church, because here's the house where they're going to change at. This is the place where God is causing, creating change. We got young people who are going to create and cause people to change because they're hearing this word at a young age. 15? What? Are you kidding me? I wish I did know this at 15. I'm like this now. What could I have been if I started at 15? Oh, Jesus. The reality of what I'm talking about is not a truth. It is the truth. I'm giving you the highest truth from heaven. I am. That I am. And when you get it inside of you, you are that you are. And the world around you is going to bend and bow down to you and change and come back in order because you have the power of creation. You get anything out of this today? Come on, lift those hands up, begin to give them some praise.